Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Wonderful, Marco. And how about you?
I am doing great.
You know, I'm just sitting here listening to the Bigfoot Boogie. That song always gets my feet tapping, you know? I was back from, 1982?
I know.
Back on, it was... what was his name? Ramblin' Jack Marlboro made that album for my dad and company back then. It was, wow. I remember when he came to Milpitas and they sat for probably a week just kind of writing notes and things about Bigfoot so he could put together an album. And I think the album's name, God, I'm going back almost 40-something years ago. I think it was called Bigfoot Alive in 82. Wow.
That's what it was.
It was out there on eBay. People need to go get it because it's a rarity, a big one, big rarity. So what's been going on in your world, Marco? How's everything going?
It's going pretty good. Things are going. I'm alive. That's good. Let's see. Who we got tonight? We got Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
Leo hasn't come on yet. He will.
I got Doyle there. I see him. And our special guest is waiting in the wings. I see him also.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
In Doyle's area.
Yep, he's there also. You know, since our last week's show and, you know, the way we did things a little differently, I thought we'd kind of switch it up a little bit this week also. So I reached out to a close friend of ours and somebody who's knowledgeable and authority in the subject that we're going to talk about. Because, you know, we talk about Bigfoot, and, you know, Bigfoot is known by different things. You know, Yeti, the Yowie, the Aprandak, the what's over there in Russia? Can't remember what they call them over there. But also here in the U.S., you know, people are calling this creature the Dogman. And I remember, God, close to 5-7 years ago, we were up, I think it was in Wisconsin, and yep. There had been a reporter who had talked about a Dogman, a wolf creature. You know, I thought to myself, you know, we hunt Bigfoot. What are we doing up here? We met with this.
Linda Godfrey, she wrote, writing a book on that for 20-some years.
That's her. That's right. And we went to this street. There was this famous street. I can't remember what that was, but where this creature had been seen many a times. And we went and investigated. And I kept thinking to myself back then, what are we doing looking for the werewolf? You know, because I called it the werewolf. We all know there's no werewolves. Ah, you know, werewolves are TVs like vampires and Frankenstein's monster and all that. But then, you know, as time goes by, I started thinking to myself, you know, what if people are misidentifying it? Maybe it looks a little different. You know, we don't all look the same on the planet. We're all different. We're all different colors, different hair types, body types, style types. What if this is just another what we call Bigfoot, and it's been misidentified for all this time? Maybe there's a Bigfoot out there with a little bit longer snout, sharper teeth, more violent, more angry, you know, because the ones we've seen and the ones we go up are more of the peaceful forest people. We're going to come and massage your prostate, and you're going to mind talk to us, you know. But this is the opposite. This is the alpha male of the group, the what people are calling the Dogman. You know, what do you think about that, Marco?
Well, I'll tell you, I can recall several instances in our past history here. Mm-hmm. The one was in Wisconsin with Linda Godfrey, and she, of course, she they call it the Beast of Bray Road. And it's been about, 20, 30 years, something like that. And it's kind of a violent creature. But that was in one place. A couple of years before that, we had a guy on our show. He was actually from New York, but he was in Canada. And the guy that actually took the picture was French Canadian, couldn't speak English. But the other guy came on the show to tell us all about it, and basically he had a photo. He didn't know he had it until he went home and looked at it, and he found a dog-faced or a wolf-faced Bigfoot standing in the middle of the forest, holding a dog in its hand. Now we had considerable amount of people review the photographs and everything else, and it's some pretty amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. A few years after that, down in Cherokee country, several people in, what was it, East Virginia, other couple other places, we had sightings of a dog-faced Bigfoot. One was one of our guests, was a guy who was with us a long time, Chris. His son was a 5-year-old kid, and he described that thing that he saw was, and it was on, it got up on 2 feet. And then also in Minnesota, there was a report we had of a dog-faced Bigfoot on top of a cabin roof. And so there's been a bunch of in our own backyard where we've been investigating, several instances where people have sightings of a dog-faced Bigfoot. And
sure.
It's amazing. And the thing about it is, the legs, now we also, your dad, Tom, there was a guy up in also in Wisconsin. He was and this was completely separate from the Beast of Bray Road. And he was picking up roadkill, and he was out picking
the
up roadkill.
No, the DNR guy. Yeah,
yes.
I remember him.
Yep.
Yes.
He threw the deer in the back of the truck, and he was filling out the paperwork, and something went whoop, and the truck went down. He looked in the rearview mirror, and he seen this dog-looking, wolf-looking-faced creature, and it grabbed the deer. And it grabbed his step. He had a steel step that goes in the back of the truck. And he took off with it.
God,
we've had instances where people have done that. Now, that particular incident went throughout the United States. It was a big deal. And we went up there and investigated it. And he also, at a later date, called us. He had to be very shy about what he did because he was on a contract with the government and he was going to lose the contract and he got in a lot of deep water when he went public and so he had to keep it quiet, but he called us back a couple of times and he had found some big scat. So there was quite a few incidents where we've been pretty close to this thing.
I'm sitting here and I'm trying to remember his name because we went up there and we spent a week with him. He drove us all around.
I'm trying to remember his name too. I tell you.
Well, you know something? I bet you our surprise guest, an authority on the dog man, a good friend of ours, might remember his name. Why don't you bring him on in, folks? This
is Rocky on too? Well,
put Rocky in. We'll discuss it. We'll just let us talk, and then we'll bring them in also. And
gentlemen, how have you been?
I'm outstanding. How about you?
Very well. I won't complain about it. They're keeping me busy down here, but this is an interesting topic. And gave me up a little bit earlier, and we're saying how the misidentification, pretty much. And what I tell people, with the Bigfoot Dogman Research Project, I started it as a project just as that. I look at things, non-objectively from an investigative standpoint. And from my own personal experiences and hundreds of people who've written in, I do believe there is some sort of upright walking canine creature. Now, where the misidentification comes in is timber wolves, black wolves, they'll stand up on their hind legs and look over fields, and they can stand up on their hind legs for an inordinate amount of time. So that, and there's a whole litany of things that someone in a bad position in the woods, someone who's not aware of their surroundings or not really familiar with it, can see kangaroos, for instance. I believe they're in Missouri. They've released kangaroos into the wild. And, if you look at what these people are describing, the hind legs, long ears, elongated snout, you see this thing jump a crazy amount of feet. Who's to say if they hadn't heard a story about a dogman creature in that area before, if it's not one of these, So you never really know unless you have hard proof or evidence, which, you guys have been getting proof of the Bigfoot creature, for a very, very long time. And I do believe that sometimes people are mistaking the dogman creature for the Bigfoots with the elongated snouts. We all know that there's no set standard for how these creatures look. The Sasquatch creature can have a snout, conical head, non-conical head. We've seen them all, right? So I believe a lot of times that is what people are seeing. And when you're faced with a situation, you see something that science or academia hasn't set your mind up to even acknowledge as being real. When you see that in person, I don't believe these people can put together rational thought, because I can't, and I've been doing this 2 years. It's a very, very interesting topic. Looking back in the history of it, what did they call mythology back in the 1500s when it was written? They called it fact. Are these creatures around? I know what I've seen, but I also don't just you know me, I'm not one to start flying a banner, you know, and it's I really wish y'all could have called it the Bigfoot Upright Walking Canine Creature Project or something like that, because we really don't have nearly as much evidence of this creature as we do Bigfoot. Not saying that it doesn't have a place in cryptid research. You know, there's a lot of good, talented people out there that are adamantly searching for this creature. But unfortunately, I do think a lot of it is misidentification.
So when you say misidentification, do you believe that these people have actually seen a different style of a Bigfoot, or what we call Bigfoot, or do you think they're actually seeing a werewolf, a dogman, a werewolf in London, or like a werewolf in Germany, you know, like one of your, folks.
I mean, I've seen the evidence, you know, there is some sort of creature out there, you know what I mean? And like I said, from what I've seen, this upright walking canine creature, but I don't believe they're nearly as prominent in the old growth forest and the deep brush as Bigfoot. So much so that we can look at the cases of the people who've seen this dogman creature as opposed to the folks who've seen Sasquatch. In Ada, Oklahoma, for instance, there's a gravestone. A gentleman who's on our channel sent me a picture of a gravestone where a woman was killed in 1921, I believe, and it was etched on the tombstone that she was killed by human wolves. And lo and behold, there's all sorts of reports of this upright walking canine creature they call dogman in this area. So
human wolves. I just makes
yeah,
me
killed
think.
By
wow.
human wolves. Yes, sir. But then again, in Ada, Oklahoma, that's one of the big hot spots for Bigfoot in southern Oklahoma. So suffice it to say, I do believe that they occupy the same areas, but I don't believe that their numbers is anywhere near what Sasquatch is. I believe that Sasquatch is going through a population boom right now. I've gathered data in the few areas that I've been to in southern Oklahoma and North Texas to validate at least a growth in the creatures there. But from the researchers I talked to, it seems like there's an elevation in activity, which, you know, that and the natural resources that are being kind of just stripped in these areas where these creatures are kind of indicates that there's a population boom. So you got two top tier predators, which this dogman creature and Bigfoot are absolutely in North America, the top tier predators. I believe that the ones with the numbers are going to either put this dogman creature into submission or kill them off. That's, you know, how nature works.
Well, I was talking about, Steve, was this, that it's not just in one area. A lot of people refer to this Beast of Bray Road. And Linda, the author of a book, she'd been researching these sightings in her area, and just that area, for like 20-some years, 3 years.
Yeah, Linda Godfrey, and she was an ex journalist. A lot of respect for that. Like.
Yeah. She wrote the book. We had her on our show a few times. And basically, you know, there was a lot of drawings, and she had her own web page with drawings and werewolf looking like stuff, you know, things like that, right? But this other guy that we're talking about that was in Wisconsin was a DNA, and he kind of drew a picture of it. But the guy, the Beast of Seven Chutes in Canada. And if you look that up, I don't know if you have you seen that, the Beast of Seven Chutes.
Yes, sir. And I, honestly, a lot of people call that a dogman creature. I see a Sasquatch, honestly.
No, I see a Sasquatch. However, it has the elongated snout with the pointed ears and the and the teeth, the canine teeth. And they had several blow-ups of it. However, there's not enough evidence.
Yeah, it's a fantastic picture. Don't get me wrong. That's a great, you know, shot that they got.
I mean, it's one of the few that I've ever seen. And there's others that are out there, but not like that. You know, you look on YouTube and some of those other places, and then they show it looks like a damn wolf on four legs running.
Right.
You know, there's several out there like that.
That, and I mean, like... natural wolves. People don't understand. They can, on their hind legs, can stand over 6 feet tall, reach well over 200 pounds in the wild, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's really difficult to try to pin that creature down and say, hey, look, here's the proof that this creature exists in the wild like Sasquatch. I mean, for goodness sakes, what is it, Illinois or Washington, where the Army Corps of Engineers listed Sasquatch as a part of the natural wildlife? I don't see that happening with a werewolf creature anytime soon. And again, not to take any kind of steam or momentum away from that field, because I'm investigating the same thing, but it's a lot harder to validate this creature because I believe there is an extremely small number of them.
Yes, what I meant was that I didn't relate that this was all over the place, but they are in different areas of the United States. They have been sighted, or supposedly sighted, let's say that, right? Reported as an encounter in a dog face. And West Virginia, Georgia, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Canada, but not that often, not that frequently. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not like it's a frequent thing like normal creature is. The normal fit of a Bigfoot that we see is 6 to 8 feet tall or more, and you know, the big hulky thing. Except in down south in Florida and stuff, they look leaner and smaller in a lot of areas. But,
which could indicate different, you know, types. You know, we got orangutans and chimpanzees.
Like
exactly.
Pretty
but
neat,
the behavior of some of the it is. It's very, very fascinating. And you know, just like you, I'm sure you've heard it all. And a lot of these people who it's not to disparage them in any way, but a lot of people will have an encounter with something that I can deduce from what they're giving me as being something natural. And you know, I'll paint a scenario for them and look up the natural wildlife in the area that they were in where they had this encounter and present them with, hey, could it be this, you know, wolf, since you have wolves in these areas. And you saw something standing up, long ears, big snout, and you took off running the other way before you saw anything else. But then again, you have these just grassroots researchers who are out there taking these pictures of these things, and they have hands. I mean, yeah, it's kind of it's kind of scary in a way, you know, that you look at werewolf movies, and like I said, back in 1500s, they're talking about werewolves in the woods and Europe and in North America as well. A lot of Native American tribes talked about the wolf creatures. I forget exactly what the Native American word was for it, but there's historical evidence.
I've read several articles on Indian legends on that.
You know, absolutely. There's not as much historical evidence to validate this creature as there is Bigfoot. I mean, you go back to Leif Erikson, you know, the first written account of, he's describing what we're seeing in the woods today. So, you know, it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around when you look at it through that investigative lens of how is this small pocket of creature, being a top-tier predator, occupying
these little... Well, it just requires more investigation.
Absolutely, and that's the fun of it.
I think it's neat.
Until you run into one, I guess.
Well, the one that they got in Wisconsin, I'm not sure I'd want to. Reported. Yeah,
that thing looked gargantuan. It looked massive. Yeah. It looked like it was holding a full-grown dog, or I don't know if it was a dog or a pig, but it was holding it with one hand.
A dog. And a story that went with that way back then, it's not in there now. A story that went with that was that the people would take their dogs out and drop them off, you know what I'm talking about, to get rid of them in this area. And, you know, it was carrying them. It looked at first, it's like a little dog and he's holding it and it's dead.
Yeah, like he's just holding a boombox or something. He's holding a full-grown dog.
Yeah, and they guessed his height. Now, there's been several articles written on this, some for and some against. You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
because everybody gets their swing. Everybody that's an armchair guy sits back and
pontificates.
Says their own thing about what they think that it is based on their investigation of the internet, right? So,
absolutely. Yeah, and they're used to dudes, you know, and watching Jack Hanna. They're not going in the deep brush where these creatures could be, you know. Like you said, they're just pontificating based on their very limited knowledge of these creatures.
Sure. This thing was they guessed its height based on the tree height of where he was at. And it was supposed to be 6 foot, between 6 and 7 feet. In height.
Yeah,
so.
I'd say it's every bit of that. I mean, because it looked gargantuan just from the perspective of it holding the dog and the trees that were around.
Yeah, and if you've seen the original photo, I don't know if they show that still, but the original photo, it just shows a little dot. You know what I'm talking
right.
about?
Yeah, the one that people know now is zoomed in.
Yeah, and then they exploded it up until they finally, you know, got it to where it was. You could see some of the detail in it, but it's kind of neat. I've had an artist version of the thing drawn by a couple of people who were artists that had an encounter with them, but they're not as detailed as this is. I mean, it's kind of a don't know. And I think you're right.
So what are you guys' opinions on it? Do you think that because we all know that there are Sasquatch out there, and a lot of people say they're the more aggressive ones with the kind of elongated snout, the orangutan-looking ones.
Yeah,
right. A lot of them have orange coats. Do you think a lot of what these aggressive dogman encounters people are seeing are just a different type of Sasquatch?
Well, that's kind of tough. I mean, you know, I don't know if the dogman isn't Sasquatch or the Sasquatch isn't dogman, like I was saying, in the beginning of the show. I mean, does the dogman, everything you know about dogman, does he walk around on four and then, you know, when he's attacking, come up on two? I mean, that's why I kind of asked you on to kind of give us an understanding. Me, frankly, honestly, we think it's some sort of a different species of Bigfoot. I mean, if you look back in the days of, hey, hold on 1 second. Doyle, we're getting a lot of feedback from you, so if you got a speaker listening in, you're going to have to mute it. But back in the day, you know, you had the Cro-Magnon man who had the big brow. Then you had the Out of Africa style, which is more of a long, elongated stout, you know.
Right. Cro-Magnon's Neanderthal. The only thing that got me when I first started this, and I was – you know, full steam ahead that I was going to prove that this was some sort of, you know, amalgamation of a Bigfoot and some other creature. But the thing that gets me is the descriptions that a lot of people have and the things that I've seen in their hind legs, their hands, the abnormally long snout, even for a canine type creature. Honestly, and this is a theory that I was working with, when you hear people describe these things, and, you know, they have the haunches and, you know, the crooked hind leg like a dog.
Right.
But with these hands like a raccoon and whatnot, who's to say it's not some sort of marsupial, an undiscovered marsupial? They found some sort of an ape creature who walked on its hind legs in someplace in South America just in the past 4 years. And it's, it stands between 5'5" and 6 feet tall, I think. It has very little hair. So if something like that's walking around in the jungles of South America, and we're just now discovering it, who's to say that this isn't some super, you know, marsupial? Since technically, I think a possum is a marsupial, right?
Well,
possum
is a marsupial, but you got my mind going a different direction. I'm looking back into the prehistoric days. There was actually this. What was this creature? There was a creature that was, you know, 6 to 8 foot tall that described just like you described it, but a marsupial. But, you know, back then it was a lot larger, kind of like the, I can't even think right now. But what if it's an undiscovered, like you said, marsupial, but it's a prehistoric marsupial that was, you know, a lot larger. than what they're going on now. You know, I mean,
was it a sloth, a tree sloth? Because I remember seeing pictures of a sloth that stood on its hind legs.
Tree sloth, that's what it was. Yes.
Yeah, and I know exactly what you're talking about. From the pictures, it looked amazing. This thing walked on its hind legs, had a long snout, claws, and, I mean, 6 foot to 7 feet tall. I just described what people are seeing out there in the woods that's called Dogman. So it's very fascinating, and that's why I'm glad you guys are out there, you know, who have a full steam ahead direction. And it's not just some hodgepodge, you know, makeshift research where you're going out in the woods, wandering around with a camera. You actually have a game plan. You're tactful about it, and you gather data and evidence. That's what's going to prove something, not, you know, tossing videos on YouTube and shaking hands at conventions. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but that's how I feel about it. You have to gather that data and gather that evidence and go and grassroots knock on doors and basically take police reports from these eyewitnesses and compare them. That's what's going to validate some sort of a creature.
Right. You know? So what do you think? Do you think this creature lives mostly on all four and only when it wants to stands up on two? You know, I know you've got a lot of people you've talked to about Dogman. And what kind of...
I think they go from bipedal to quadruped, just like Sasquatch, you know. I've never seen it personally. I mean, that I could think of. But a lot of people say that they can run at a ridiculous amount of speed, Sasquatch creature, on all fours. You know, that's terrifying. They're terrifying standing up.
You know, just think about that. You ain't running from that. But, you know, we get reports Sasquatch was on all four, you see. And that's why I thought to myself, are they misidentifying? Because it went from all four up to two and was in full stride.
Right.
You know?
And a lot of people say the same thing. And that's where my mind started going with the natural wolf. You know, there's a lot of pictures where you see a wolf standing up looking over a field, and it can stand there for like 3 minutes, which, you know, for that an animal that size is pretty remarkable. But it's kind of hard to use a broad brush and say that it could be all this, it could be all that, because the individual cases, especially the people that don't have anything to do with each other, like Marco said, these pockets here and there across the United States, they're describing pretty much the same thing. So, you know, that's why it's kind of hard for me to pinpoint. You know, I have the marsupial theory, but then it goes back to, you know, a lot of people are seeing a snout with a lot of canical teeth, you know, canine teeth. So, and, you know, marsupials like the opossum and others have canines, but it's until we get something we can take into a laboratory, you know, with independent researchers and biologists and stuff like that, and scientists, you know, no government people who's going to spirit the body away in the middle of the night. Until we get that, you know, we're just kind of doing the best we can as field investigators.
Well, you know, speaking of body, I remember reading a few weeks ago, maybe even a month or two ago, about somebody saying they got themselves either a dog man or a prehistoric wolf, and it was all over the internet.
Oh,
there, folks.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. And
it's hysteria, you know. It was a wolf hybrid.
They had a body. Yeah, and well, this body actually went to a DNR geneticist, I guess, down in Oregon or something, and it comes out that it's just a regular wolf, you know.
Yeah,
they checked
it was. I think the DNA, the DNA review or whatever just came out, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, something like that?
Yep.
But you're absolutely right. You know, it was a some sort of a natural wolf hybrid.
A what now?
The gray wolf.
Gray wolf?
Yeah.
Oh, is that you, Rocky? A gray wolf.
Well,
see?
There you go, you know.
Yeah.
And it's crazy here lately. I've noticed that everything's starting to become a dog, man. It's almost like a fad. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people are having dog man encounters, which I'm not taking anything away from these eyewitnesses or putting a disparaging remark on any of their testimonies at all. I'm just saying it's kind of, for me, being a field researcher, it's kind of hard to correlate an abnormally a large amount of this creature, who I believe is a small pocket in these deep old growth forests that nobody's going into. What is it, like 49% of the United States is uninhabited by man? And there's a large percent of that that hasn't even been, you know, surveyed by foot. That's where these creatures are. And for all these people to be coming forth, and they're coming through their front yards, and they live in, you know, big neighborhood, you know, on the outskirts of a big city or something like that. You know, you got to look at the details and take it with a grain of salt. And beautiful old-fashioned gumshoe stuff. TJ, you know all about that stuff. You actually get calls and have to fly across the United States of America sometimes to, you know, shoo a cat out of a tree. So it's a part of it, you know. But I'm glad you actually are doing a show about the misidentification, because there could be so many things that aren't dogmen that people are seeing. And I do believe, like you guys were saying at the very beginning, that a lot of it is this type of Bigfoot that has this elongated snout. And the only thing I can compare it to is an orangutan, you know, from the pictures I've seen. And they have the long canical teeth, a really kind of pissy disposition. But you see this in this Sasquatch creature, so...
You know, when you hear more about the dogmen, it's always a violent encounter, you know, and that's what kind of made me wonder a little bit about it. You know, I've never heard a dogman story that wasn't violent or scared them or made them want to just, you know, pee their pants and run, you know. So
you're right, I don't know about those stories. You know, those are the ones I try to dig deep into, not so much to poke a hole in, but. We see all these Sasquatch encounters. You read them every day. They're benign.
Right.
They're sightings. You know what I mean? So why is this werewolf-type creature that's really, really rare, why is it just terrorizing people, yet nobody shot one? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It does cause for a little pause and thought about the whole process. You know, Bigfoot is – like you said earlier, you know, people are following in things. They're wanting something to be more than it is. So I'm guessing they want the attention, possibly. I don't know. You know,
maybe so. You know, it's a lot of people who are taking something that's real. I do believe that there's a dog, upright walking dog man, canine creature of some sort out there in the woods. But they're taking something that's real, which is small in comparison to these other cryptids, and blowing it up exponentially through these adventurous stories and whatnot. And I don't blame anybody for that. I'm not, you know, putting the whip on anybody. If that's what they like to do, tell scary story, that's fine. But there should be a clear-cut disclaimer saying, hey, this is a fictionalized account of this real creature, or this real unscientifically verified creature, this cryptid. This isn't real, but, you know, there are real accounts out there. And that's, you know, personal responsibility on the people who do that. Personally, the narration portion on the channel that we have, I've found specific stories that were just that. They were sightings, you know, and I throw some scary music on there, and I tell people at the very end of it, you just basically saw a really benign and kind of lame sighting. But, you know, you can hype it up through editing. So.
Sure.
Sorry, TJ, I didn't mean to cut you off, brother.
No, that's fine. You know, I hear more about dogmen from the indigenous people, the Native Americans, than I hear from regular folks. And then there's more dogmen mystery and story that comes from overseas in Europe, in the London, the Germany, the I think the areas like that. Why do you think that is more? I mean, it's more prevalent overseas than here. You know, do you think the stories in the medieval times about werewolves, it's still kind of lingering on, but it's transformed to the dogman?
You know, and I tell people I hate the term dogman because I think we're applying it possibly, you know, somewhat like Sasquatch to different creatures, you know, that may be similar but are probably completely different than one another. I do believe you're right, just the history of it. And honestly, because of the Native Americans, that's a lot of another reason why I give validation to there being, you know, at least a population of this creature, because look at everything they told us about Sasquatch. I haven't seen one thing that was written 600-700 years ago by any Native American tribe that hadn't rang true, you know, about our hairy, scary friends, Sasquatch. So, but like you said, it's just that their culture is inundated with that stuff. Stories of werewolves, and there's a Catholic priest, or a Catholic saint, I'm sorry, who actually has a dog head. I forget, St. Christopher, possibly? And check it out. It's weird. But they said that this saint, you know, lives in this village where people had the heads of dogs. You know, you nailed it. Like Rome, Germany, Denmark, the UK. Like, you'll hear more of these werewolf and dogman stories in Europe and in Great Britain as opposed to here. But the research area down here in southern Oklahoma that you went to when we first met, Brown Springs, 100 years ago, it had a it's very well documented. It had a what's called a man dog. This man dog would kill travelers and stuff. So
I'm just looking up at St. Christopher, the saint with a dog's head. Yep, it's actually out there. Huh. Wow.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Mm. The myth, hold on. St. Christopher as a dog-headed resulted from their misinterpretation of the Latin term Caninius Canaanite to read Caninius. Ancient Greece and Egypt, huh? Have a dog head. Did the werewolf legend start with St. Christopher? Many ancient cultures had a myth that featured a dog-headed race of men. The myth even, wow, there's actually a lot about that out there. That's something else. And I'm looking at some of the pictures, and they look almost, like the Egyptians. Huh. So,
yeah, that's another one. What is it, Anubis, the dog-headed god of Egypt. I read an article about a month ago in the Bible where King Nebuchadnezzar, I believe it was, who was cast out into the wilderness. Yeah, grew hair and, you know, ran wild for, 7 years or something like that. A lot of people are trying to attach, you know, the werewolf thing to him. So it's for whatever reason, people are just werewolf and dog man crazy here lately. But and hopefully it doesn't damper the real encounters. That's the thing I'm kind of afraid of, that people who really are seeing this kind of stuff, you know, in these rural areas and deep pockets of old growth forests, they're not going to want to come forward because, you know, Joe Blow on YouTube's got some 5-part, hour-long narration about Black Hawks chasing dog men through Yosemite or something.
Yeah. Wow.
Well,
makes a lot of sense.
Kind of connected to that, in Indian legend, are the shapeshifters and things like that.
Yes, sir.
Described as being, looking or whatever.
Yeah. So you get some day.
Yeah, skinwalkers and stuff like that. You know, a lot of those are described long ears, long snouts.
Yeah, it's a completely different thing. I mean, that's supposed to be more spiritual in the Native American heritage, but evil spirit type thing. But it connects with, you know, the look, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, if you talk, like, we have the Chickasaw and Choctaw down here, and, you know, I've talked to a lot of their tribal elders, and they'll tell you straight up that it's 110% real, that these shaman, you know, did whatever to become these creatures. Yeah, they believe in it like it was the good book. So, you know, they weren't wrong about Sasquatch, and that's another reason why I kind of look at both aspects of it. I really love history. And like you said, Marco, a lot of the Native American stuff is the spiritual aspect about it. But I don't think that they really used a lot of, what do you call it? They didn't really tell a story that meant something else, like a parable.
Gotcha.
I don't think they really spoke in parables. So it kind of makes you wonder.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is it's not all the same. I mean, the Native American tribal differences on Bigfoot and whether they're a good spirit or a bad spirit, you know what I mean, an evil spirit.
Right.
It varies depending on the tribe. You know? It's kind of there's a lot of conflicting things in there that go along with it.
Oh, of course.
But it's pretty neat that they're all. I don't think they all talk to each other way back then.
No, there was Native American tribes who couldn't communicate with one another if they wanted to, you know, spoke different languages.
Right, yeah. Sure. Not only that, but, you know, you're on my ground hunting my food.
Yeah.
Take your scalp, you know. And
zero tolerance.
Let me jump in yourself.
Well, I mean, not just to us, but to anybody. I mean, different tribes were really... really against each other.
The Comanche. I mean, they hated everybody who wasn't Comanche. So yeah.
So let me throw something else there, guys. So Marco just brought up a good point about, you know, hey, you're on my land hunting my food. So how many of these stories were created to possibly even scare off other tribes from hunting on their land? You never know.
No, you don't. You don't know.
Like I said, you know. It's kind of hard to say, you know, like the only thing I can look at is the evidence that I could find to validate what these tribal members are saying. You know what I mean? And it goes all the way back around 180 degrees to there's more evidence of what they're describing as being, the Bigfoot creature. I know they didn't call it Bigfoot, but I forget any Native American name for it, the Janosqua or whatever. What they're describing as being these creatures, you can find evidence of what they're saying today. Like Leif Erikson back in, 986 A.D., the 8-foot-tall, red-headed wild man that met them at the shores when they pulled up to North America, he was describing a Sasquatch. There's no doubt in my mind. So, I mean, he wasn't met by a bunch of wolf men, you know. So even back then, were they just that rare?
Yeah. Well, I mean, people these days, I mean, you know, research is the word. You know, if you're a researcher, then you have to actually dig back, way back, you know, all the way to as far as you can to written word because, you know, even nowadays stuff gets recycled. Well, Bigfoot stuff. I mean, you know, I'll get a picture sent to me and somebody will say that this is the picture I just took on my iPhone and I'm looking at the picture and I'm going, wait a minute. My dad and Ivan Marks took this picture 27 years ago, you idiot. What do you think? Research before you even call somebody. You know, call somebody and send a picture to them. You know?
I know exactly what you mean. Got the same thing a week ago. Some guy sent me a picture of a gorilla. Said, oh, I just took these in my backyard. I'm like, wow, you're not even trying, guy. Thanks for wasting my time.
Same thing.
You know, you were talking here about how fast they were on their fours, on knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some video of a knuckle walking from a big creature, not dog face, but a big creature, and it's pretty.
Yeah, big two. I think.
You got to shoot that to me. I'd love to see it.
Well, I give you the videos. It's in one or number two.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it's in. It's either in the gray one or the green video. But it's, you know, back then we didn't have the greatest of cameras. We would take a Sony night cam, hook batteries to it, stick it under some stuff in a tree, and kind of hide it, camouflage it, and, you know, you would get moisture on the lens, but you could see something knuckle up the bank, you know? I mean, and was that a dogman? Was it a Bigfoot? I want to think it was a Bigfoot because Bigfoot was around first. Well, actually, I don't know. Werewolves might have been before. Who knows? There's the giants from back before even all that. So we're still stuck in the big round circle going, what is this? Is it a misidentification? Is it an unknown hominid? Absolutely. Is it a hominid that's bipedal and quadrupedal? Absolutely. You know, like you said, you got to investigate everything you get to kind of figure out what's from it. You know what I've also found? Depending on the people and what their old ancient beliefs were, determine what they see also, which is kind of, you know.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And a lot of these people who are getting into this field as, for the entertainment aspect. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's better than watching a lot of the garbage they put on TV to follow a researcher, a research team, to see these things that you're not going to see on a you know, everyday basis. So that's all well and fine, but a lot of these people are wanting to have these encounters, and, you know, who's to say that not like I said, not disparaging anyone, not putting anyone down, but who's to say they're not projecting something? You know, if they're wandering around out there in the woods looking to have an encounter, they see a wild dog or something, you know, stand up, pushing itself up a tree. Who knows? You know, all you can do is look at the reports and ask questions, I suppose.
You know, you keep saying that wild, you know, wolves, they stand up like in the middle of pastures on just two?
Yeah. They have very, very keen eyesight. And they'll stand up on their hind legs and look across, like, pastures or fields or whatever for an inordinate amount of time. It's pretty cool to see. Like I said, you see a wolf over 200-something pounds stand up on its hind legs. Yeah, I mean, that'll give me a start. I grew up in the country, so.
I had to Google it. I'm Googling it right now, and, yeah, I'm looking at them. Wow. That's something else.
Dude,
right.
I mean, like you just said, Cap, I mean, you have to exhaust every possibility. And it's not to make someone into a liar. It's to validate the experience they had and try to help them understand it. And I know you're the same way. If you were just everybody who called you and said they saw a Bigfoot and you were to go and hold their hand and say, oh, well, I know it's a traumatic experience, instead of putting boots on the ground and investigating it and trying to give them some sort of clarity or reason out of their experience. I mean, there's a lot of people out there like that. Like you said, you know, Bigfoot in the woods, massaging prostates and going into trees and jumping through portals and turning into orbs. You know, I'll never call a man a liar, but that's – I like to see evidence. You know what I mean? I need something tangible that I can work with. Give me something small.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear somebody say that.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not to put anybody down. That's just – I'm a simple country boy. That's just how my mind works. I need to, you know, build it one step at a time. You can't just go from, oh, well, this thing's a Sasquatch to it turned into an orb, jumped into a tree – came out of the tree, turned back into a physical solid being. And I know the science behind all that. Yeah, it's a little bit much for me.
I have enough trouble dealing with the natural world without having to deal with the supernatural
world. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to believe, though? You know what I mean? That there's a natural creature out there that's eating, procreating, dying, living in the brush. You know, we stepped in their crap, so why don't they decide to jump through a portal and use the bathroom over there instead of doing it in the middle of the woods for us to step in? It makes no sense.
Right. Wow. You know, like you said, people see what they want to see. Who are we to tell them they didn't see it? But, you know, it's a far stretch for a squirrel for me to believe that a squirrel that's 5 or 6 ounces, transforms into a 400-pound, 6-foot beast, then starts wings into a 3-ounce bird and flies away. I mean, I'm not knocking you, but, you know, that's very hard for me to believe.
I'm willing to believe it. I want there to be these things. You know, I want to see something go into a tree. But I haven't, and I've not seen any kind of indication of any evidence to validate that. You know, like, it's all well and fine. Honest people have told me that. Good church-going folks, and that's all well and fine. But if I go to where they are and they have this experience, and I'm going over everything with a fine-tooth comb, and I'm actually seeing footprints, and I find a little bit of hair, you know, who's to say that their minds didn't do something in a panic, you know?
You know, fight or flight happens.
The way I look at it is this way. I keep my mind open all the time.
Absolutely.
But it gets dimmer on the side of until new evidence comes in to prove it otherwise. A lot of those things are on the dim side of open mind, and you know, the ones that you have clear evidence on are on the bright side of the open mind. And look at it that way. I don't disbelieve it or say that it couldn't possibly be true, because there's so many things past that have been proven wrong. And science is not science.
it's a theoretical practice. Yeah.
Everybody's back. You know, they're going searching for facts. Science is not facts. Science is theory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, it's literally how man understands the natural world. You know, you're absolutely right. And TJ will tell you, like, I'm a very spiritual Christian. Don't get me wrong. Like, I do believe in that spirit realm, being a Christian. But yet and still, I mean, I live in the world, the real world with real people, and I want to see something tangible. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think that's the human existence is we keep looking for the thing that's not there. We look for the impossible. That's kind of the human existence, I think, that makes us inquisitive of everything. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing of it is, you take 10 people, they see one thing, but you can get five different descriptions of the same thing. Light, dark, shadows, all of that. I'm like him. I believe in the here and now. I'm gonna let the portal, the things from there's coming through the portals, I'm gonna let them take care of themselves. I'm going out there and looking for Sasquatch. If I see a dog headed man, I'll let you know. But
no doubt.
I'm not going to scoff at somebody that thinks that they've seen a dog-headed man, because there's a lot of people that are scared of the dark that see a lot of things that aren't there at all.
Right. And it's not to say that these people aren't seeing this creature, because they very well,
right.
But like you said, you know, we have to look at what's there. I'll be more than happy to listen to anybody, and I hope nobody walks away from this thinking that, like, I've, you know, closed off or I have a prejudice towards anybody's experience, because I don't. And Geneva, Switzerland, CERN, the Large Hadron Collider, they, you know, slam atoms together faster or right at the speed of light. And all those scientists who are way smarter than me, I sound like a fool trying to describe this stuff, but they literally said that they can open portals to someplace else. They can send things through and something from that side can come over here. So that's valid scientific validation for the existence of these portals. Having said that, is there, have I seen any portals down here in southern Oklahoma, things jumping through them? No. Are there ghosts and stuff in there? Yeah, they had ghost tours down in Brown Springs once upon a time. Am I investigating ghosts? No, sir. I'm investigating a living, breathing creature. So, just like you said, brother, I'll leave that to more vested people who got the book and stuff.
they got letters next to their name.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, mercy.
My goodness. Wow.
It's fun, though, man. It's a blast, like the whole thing, you know.
How about I give you your number after the show?
Yes, sir. I'll do that.
Okay. I'll get with Marco and get your number and give you a call first chance I get.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. As a matter of fact, on one of the DVDs that I got, I think maybe not Bigfoot Lives. I forget which one it is, but it has your whole testimony from your experience on there. And brother, it's one of, if not the greatest, I don't want to say great, but the most intriguing story and the most legit story I've ever heard or encountered with one of these creatures and the aftermath of it. I mean, man alive, like.
Oh, okay, see,
yeah.
Julia, what you said just now, one of these creatures, I couldn't actually say it was a Bigfoot, but it was a creature. It was a creature,
right.
A hairy creature. All right.
Right.
It didn't have a head like a dog, but I didn't know, I had no idea what a Bigfoot actually looked like. So I'm just going along with the creature.
And what a great segue to the end of the show. Folks, you can get that video. It's at searchingforbigfoot.com. It's Bigfoot Lives 2. and is actually coming through the Bigfoot Lives One. Don't forget to get over to BDRP, which is the Bigfoot Dogman Research Project with DDoS, and he was our special guest and authority tonight. D, I want to thank you for your time, and I
thank
appreciate
you
coming on.
You know, honor and a privilege.
Folks, hey, you know, check back with us every Wednesday night, 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, where we're going to talk Bigfoot and even more cryptids. Look out for a special show next week and weeks to come. Folks, Marco Bill, thank you. Rocky, thanks for coming on for the roundtable. Doyle, we miss you. And folks, Mrs. Calabas, we're going to see you sometime. Have a great
keep
night.
Keep the Bigfoot alive and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Thank God.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We brought them together.